We shall choose our text then at John chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And for the remainder of our time this afternoon, we want to meditate upon this verse in context, and we would seek the blessing of the Lord upon our meditation. And the title I want to give to the sermon is The Character of Christ's People. Because that's what we have here, the character of Christ's people. We do live in a time when there is much confusion and error abounding concerning what is a Christian and the character of a Christian. But we have it here in this verse, and we have it here from the words of the Lord Jesus. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And whether we realize it or not, we are in some real sense describing the most precious and beautiful people in all of God's creation. Why do I say that? Well, I say that simply because Christ is describing his people. And of course, we know his people in of themselves are far from precious, far from beautiful, but because of their relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the great shepherd, to the Son of God who became the Son of Man, they are a delightful people. They are a peculiar people. They are a special people because the Lord Jesus Christ values them and loves them. And because of the relationship that the people of Christ know and experience through being united to the Lord Jesus, I do believe it's fair to describe them as the most special and the most precious of individuals that ever graced creation. And therefore, we want to look at this, that each and every one of us may truly examine ourselves and to see whether these characteristics are to be found in us. Because these things must be found in us if we are to be ones who claim to know and love the Lord Jesus. Well, I have five brief things that I wished to bring from this text to you, five headings. You will clearly see them as I bring them to you, I have no doubt. The first thing that describes Christ's people and the characteristics of Christ's people is that they are sheep. Now, instantly, we might say to ourselves, that's not a very grand thing to describe the people of God as sheep. Well, in other parts of the Word of God, they are described as His church, His people, or they are described as His bride. But here in this passage, they are described as sheep. And the background to this chapter will be found in the previous chapter, chapter 9, which of course we did not read, but I shall refer to it very, very briefly. In chapter 9, we have the healing of a man who was born blind. He encountered the Lord Jesus Christ, and Christ healed him. And Christ did that on the Sabbath day. And because he did it on the Sabbath day, the ire of the scribes and the Pharisees was raised against Christ. And eventually, upon examination, the man who had been born blind, who had been cured, was excommunicated from the temple or the synagogue. more than likely the temple, because this man testified that Jesus had cured him. And this man said in his testimony when he was accused of the Jews, if this man Christ was a sinner, he could never do these things. He must be of God. For who ever heard of one, a sinner, in such a state? Who ever heard of a sinner healing someone who had been born blind? And because of the man's testimony, he was thrown out of the synagogue. And Jesus meets him. And upon a further conversation with him, the man began to worship the Son of God and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the background to this chapter here. And then John records it. Jesus goes on to say, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber." And what he's going on to describe there is the scribes and the Pharisees were nothing but thieves and robbers, and that Christ was the true shepherd. That's what he's going on to tell them there. And he brings this parable to them about Christ, who is the great shepherd. And surprisingly enough, after he had told them this parable, they did not understand these things. And Jesus goes on then in this chapter to talk about his work and to talk about his people. And he comes here to our text. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And therefore, friends, we want to ask ourselves, are we among the sheep? Are we the ones whom Jesus describes as his people? He calls them sheep. Now, sheep, when we think of a sheep, it instantly brings to our attention that sheep are weak and sheep are helpless. And sheep, in some sense, are harmless, but in other senses, they are useful creatures. And this, indeed, is a true description of Christ's people. They are sheep. They are, in of themselves, weak. Now, modern man and natural man doesn't like to hear this. The natural man likes to think he's powerful, he's strong, he's able to do things. But he must recognize that if he's truly one of Christ's people, if he's truly a sheep in the sense that Christ is describing here, he must recognize that he is weak, he is powerless, and that he must utterly and entirely rely upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He is like a sheep, weak, helpless, and harmless. And of course, this strikes right at our pride, right at the very beginning, because we like to think that we can do something. We like to think that we contribute. But friends, we must recognize that the people of God are sheep, absolutely weak and helpless. But when he says here in verse 27, our text, "My sheep hear my voice," and he describes his people as being sheep, the principal thing that he wants to get across here is that they are completely helpless and that they are completely dependent upon the shepherd. This is the glorious truth that he wants to bring out. They in of themselves are helpless, and that they rely entirely, completely, and exclusively upon Jesus Christ. I want to ask you then, friends, do we know anything of this? Resting upon Jesus Christ? Looking upon him for life, for favor, for everything? Do we look to Jesus Christ? Is he the sum and the substance of our Christian profession and our walk? Because sheep are ones who depend upon the shepherd and him alone, exclusively. Well, if it's not very complimentary to call people sheep, Let us realize and let us delight in the fact that Jesus calls them my sheep. Secondly, notice, friends, he not only calls people sheep, but he calls them my sheep. Oh, friends, does this not fill your heart with gratitude? Is your heart in some sense not swelled up to think that the Lord would call his people my sheep? My sheep? This is what he says, my sheep. And therefore, we want to ask ourselves, in what sense are Christians to be called, or in what sense does Christ call his people my sheep? How can he say that? Well, he says that because his sheep were given to him by the Father. Yes, friends, I'm talking about that glorious and that wonderful doctrine that is taught in the Word of God, the doctrine of election. Friends, the people of God must delight in the Word of God and what we find in the Word of God. And although many people might find these things repugnant and against them, yet, friends, we must take all our theology from the Word of God and not to be ashamed or afraid of it. And we are taught in the Word of God, are we not, that God has chosen Christ's sheep before the foundation of the world. It was as if God saw all of mankind, before him. And from that great mass of humans, God chose one here, and one there, and one there. And he gave all of these, all the ones he chose before eternity, and he gave them to Christ. That's what happened. They are his by his Father's gift. God has given Christ a people. And that people are described here as his sheep of his Father's choosing, given to the Lord Jesus Christ as a gift. As we said, these things are not popular, but oh, to the true-hearted, genuine Christian, they indeed bring wonderful comfort and succor to us. To realize that our salvation does not depend upon ourselves. To realize that our salvation has at its very beginning the fact that the eternal God has chosen us before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he has predestined us to the adoption of sons, it tells us in the book of Ephesians. This is your wonderful pedigree, friends. This is what belongs to the people of God. God, in some sense, has chosen you before the foundation of the world. Yes, friends, it is true that in time you have chosen the Lord Jesus. Yes, you have chosen to take up the cross and follow him. That is true. But why have you chosen to follow the Lord Jesus? You cannot put that choice down to yourselves. It is because God has chosen you. And therefore, all the glory must go to the Lord himself. It is salvation is from the Lord. And if you're saved today, it is because God has chosen you in Christ. And this indeed should cause you indeed to be humble before him. Humble. Oh, we cannot attribute anything to ourselves. But as Jonah says, does he not? Salvation is of the Lord. Humility. It should clothe us with humility to recognize that we are where we are and we enjoy what we enjoy because of God's free and sovereign grace. Well, they are his sheep by the Father's gift. And they are his sheep by his redemption. Yes, friends, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made under the law, to redeem them under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And it was all part of God's almighty and glorious and eternal plan of redemption to put Christ on the cross. And there on the cross, Christ actually did something. He actually performed something. What was it? He brought about the salvation of his people. We are not of those who will proclaim that when Christ died, he died for all the world. No, friends, that's not true. If Christ died for all the world, then all the world would be saved. Because Christ actually did something. He actually achieved something on Calvary's tree. What did he achieve? He brought about the salvation of his sheep, of his church, of his people. And therefore, Christ's people are his sheep because he purchased them on Calvary's tree. There are people who will teach and they will preach that Christ died for all. Now we know that many people are not saved. And because they're not saved, they will go and perish. Are you going to try and tell me that Jesus died for those who will perish? What kind of gospel is that? A savior who cannot save? No, friends. When the Lord Jesus Christ cried out, "Tetelestai," it is finished. When he cried out that words on the cross, he was telling the whole wide world and all of creation, the whole cosmos, that I have completed the task that the Lord has given to me, and that I have brought about the sure and certain salvation of all my people. They are his sheep by redemption, because he has purchased them, and he has purchased them only. Therefore, if we belong to the Lord Jesus, let us delight that he has actually paid the price of our sins. The great transaction is done. That's why we go out and preach the gospel. We preach the gospel wherever we will get an audience, believing that God has his people there and there and there, and that they will hear. And that they will come to put their faith and hope and trust upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, they are a sheep by election. They are a sheep by redemption, because Christ has died for them and died for them only. But they are his sheep by his calling and choosing. We will look at that later on in our next heading. But that's something wonderful that the Lord Jesus Christ does. Through the preaching of the gospel to a mixed multitude, whether there be 50 here or 200 here or 2,000 here. When the gospel is proclaimed, Christ picks out this one and picks out that one. He speaks to them and he chooses them and he effectually calls them and not others. They are his by calling and by choosing. And they are his, friends, by the fact that Christ feeds them, keeps them, and preserves them. Are you a true-hearted Christian? You are only a true-hearted Christian because the Lord Jesus Christ continues to feed you. He continues to keep you. He continues to preserve you. Left to ourselves, we would fall. We would go back into the world. But because we are savingly united to the Lord Jesus Christ, he watches over his people and he feeds them, keeps them, preserves them, and will ultimately bring them to glory and them alone. And they are his sheep. Because his sheep have come to him by their own consent and will. Once upon a time you lived in unbelief, and your will was totally against coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Your mind was at enmity against Him. But so something wonderful and glorious happened. Your will was changed, and you came willingly to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. You came by your own consent, yet it was by the sovereign work of God whereby your will was changed. And for these reasons, Christ looks upon His own people as My sheep. Oh, do we understand? Do we grasp? Have we faced this? Do we ponder it? Do we meditate upon this wonderful blessing that belongs to the people of God to be called by Christ, My sheep? That's what He says here. My sheep hear My voice. Well then, thirdly, we might notice that those persons that we have described who are sheep and who are in some real and special sense My sheep belonging to the Lord Jesus, here is a characteristic of them, that they hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. They hear the voice of Christ. And we want to ask ourselves, what does it actually mean when Jesus says, My sheep hear My voice? You remember, He said this to scribes and Pharisees. And in a very real sense, scribes and Pharisees heard the voice of the Lord Jesus. They heard Him speak. They heard Him utter all that's recorded here. They heard audibly the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet He says to them, "But ye believe not, because ye are not of My sheep, as I said unto you." Therefore, it's not simply audibly hearing the voice of the Lord Jesus that He's talking about here. And this is vitally important for us here. For in one real sense, as we're gathered here today, as you have heard the Scriptures being read, you have heard audibly the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. But something more is required. And Jesus means something more. It's not simply to hear audibly the voice of Christ. For many people have heard His voice audibly, and friends, they're lost and they're perishing. So therefore, what does it mean to hear His voice? For He says, My sheep hear My voice. Well, friends, it means that we respond, that we agree, that we concur. And therefore, when the Word of God tells us that we're sinners and that we cannot be saved in of ourselves, and if we continue, we're lost and we're perishing, we hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ calling us unto Himself. We hear the wonderful gospel invitation. Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We hear that wonderful gospel invitation in Isaiah. Look unto Me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. In other words, to hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ is to recognize our sinfulness. It's to recognize the truth of what He says. And although this truth is unpalatable to us, for the gospel is offensive, it reminds us that we have to look to a crucified Savior. And we must put our faith and our hope and our trust upon that one in order to be saved. And that's what it means to hear His voice. To agree with His word. To respond to it. And to call upon Him. These persons heard the voice of the Lord Jesus. On another occasion in John's Gospel, some said, "Never a man spake like this man." There was such power and such authority over the way that Jesus spoke. But they weren't His sheep. They weren't His sheep, and they didn't hear His voice. And you want to ask yourself today, Have you heard the voice of the Lord Jesus? Has your conscience ever been pricked? Have you ever been stirred in the heart as the gospel has been proclaimed to you, as the word of God has been read? Have you ever heard that internal voice of the Lord Jesus Christ causing you to cast yourself upon him and to turn your back upon your old life and not to rely upon anything in your own life, but to cast yourself entirely at the mercy of the Lord Jesus? That's what it means to hear his voice. We know earlier on in John's Gospel, when Jesus began to be very popular, and then he began to open up and explain what it means to follow the Lord Jesus, and when he began to unravel his doctrine, we are told that many disciples say, "This is a hard teaching, who can accept it?" And what happened? They turned their backs and they left following the Lord Jesus. And the Lord turned to his disciples, "Are you also going to go away?" And Peter, as a spokesman, with all his faults and with all his failings, rightly said, "To whom else shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Peter was ignorant of many things, certainly. But he recognized in Jesus Christ that he had the words of eternal life. And although his doctrine may be hard, and although his doctrine may be go against human nature, yet he recognized this was the way of eternal life, and he was not in any sense going to leave Christ, because he heard the voice of the Lord Jesus. Is this your position today? When many are ashamed of Christ and of his words, are you ashamed of them? Well, the true sheep and the people of God and the people of Christ, they hear his voice. And they will not follow another. When the Jehovah Witness comes to the door, they recognize this is a false prophet. And when others come, they recognize there's something not right here, and they will not follow him because they've heard the voice of the Lord Jesus. Well, fourthly, we would notice here something else, another characteristic of Christ's people. They are known by Christ. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them." Of course, Christ knows everybody. I overheard, and I think I overheard correctly, a lady passing by our gospel outreach yesterday, and one of our posters says something like this: "We will all give account to God." And I heard her talking to someone. "Why do I need to give an account to God if God knows everything?" And it's a fair point, is it not? She's quite right. God does indeed know everything. So why then do I need to give account of myself before God if he knows everything? Well, of course, friends, we will give account of ourselves before God, not to help God remember or not to bring any knowledge to God, because God knows all about our lives. Rather, friends, we will give account of ourselves before God in order that when God will pass sentence and judgment upon us, we will recognize and we will concur that perfect divine justice has been dispensed. And there is a text in the Bible which tells us that every mouth shall be silenced. That's why we will give account. Because God then will issue judgment and we will concur with it. Much as it may be unpleasant to us, we will recognize that perfect justice has been dispensed. And here we are told here another characteristic of Christ's sheep, that Christ knows them. Christ knows everyone. But he knows his own sheep in a particular and a special way. He has special knowledge. Special knowledge of approbation. What does that mean? It's approval or praise. He loves his people and he approves of them and he praises his own people. He knows them in a sense of complacency. And what we mean by that is he has a sense of pleasure and delight in his people and of love and of interest in his own dear special people. He knows them in that sense. God knows all individuals. Even their hearts and their thoughts are all known to God. But Christian, Christ knows you intimately. And he knows you with approval. Yes. And you might find that difficult to grasp and to understand because of all your sinfulness, yet because you are in Christ, he delights in you. He loves you, and he's so interested in you, even in the smallest, most minute details. He knows his people. Are you going through difficult times? Every Christian will go through difficult times. Maybe it's your turn to go through difficult times. Your heart is stretched, your heart is broken, you're perplexed. You're without strength. You fear for the future. The Lord Jesus Christ knows. He knows all these things. He hasn't taken his love off you. He knows you. He's well aware of this. He knows what's happening in your family, in your home, in your relationships, in your workplaces, in your community, or wherever you find yourself. The Lord knows. Knows. Because his people are known by Christ. Is that not wonderful? The world doesn't know us. The world doesn't want to know us. The world will eradicate us. The world will dismiss us. But the one who holds the world in its place knows the Christian, loves the Christian with that special care and concern and interest, in a sense that he delights in his people. Delights. Can you believe it that Christ would delight in a wretch like we are? Yet he does. This is a wonderful characteristic of the people of God, that they are known of Christ. And briefly and finally, here we say they follow Christ. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And what's the outcome? And they follow me. Friend, are you following the Lord Jesus Christ? This is the most important thing we must look at here this day. Are you following Christ? This is a great characteristic of all those who belong to the Lord Jesus. Are you following him? Many friends are looking to Christ for righteousness, and rightly so, because we can never get to heaven by our own righteousness. Only Christ and his righteousness must be our portion. But do you know Christ is also our example, and we are to follow him, and we are to follow him alone. No one else. I hope you're not following the minister. I hope you're not following a godly Christian. I hope you're not following a confession. I hope you're not following a denomination. Friends, you are to follow the Lord Jesus and him alone. We said earlier about the sheep, how they seem helpless and dumb on occasions. But you know, that's not strictly true. There's something unique about the sheep. Luther says this: the sheep, though the most simple creature, is superior to all animals in this, that he soon hears his shepherd's voice and will follow no other. Also, he is clever enough to hang entirely on his shepherd and to seek help from him alone. He cannot help himself, nor heal himself, nor guard against wolves, but depends wholly and solely on the help of another. And this marks out the Christian. He's like the sheep. The sheep will only follow his shepherd, and he will not respond to the voice of another. He will follow that shepherd through thick and thin, because he recognizes that shepherd is out to preserve his life. And this is what marks out the Christian. Through thick and thin, he will follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And although things may be difficult, yet he recognizes that ultimately, Christ has his best interest at heart. Jesus said at verse 5, "And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." Christian, let us continue to follow the Lord Jesus. He's our trailblazer. He's the one who has trod the path before us. Where is he today? He's at God's right hand. All power in heaven and earth has been given unto him. Let us continue to follow our Savior and our Good Shepherd. But maybe you haven't even begun to follow him. Today is the day then, friend. Would you not like to know this glorious shepherd? Would you not like to follow in his footsteps? Would you not like to know this special, particular love that belongs to his own people? Come. Come and believe upon the Lord Jesus. Come with all your doubts, with all your fears. Come to him, and he will change you. He will receive you. He will transform you. And he will be your shepherd. And he will ultimately take you to glory. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Amen. May God bless his word to us. Let us pray together.